Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler, and this podcast is brought to you by 42 Degrees with four convenient locations in Omaha.
Open 8 a.m. to midnight, 7 days a week by your mom's house. I'll see you there.
Spending another day catering to their base. It's the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Todd, this is also National Speech and Debate Education Day.
All right. Again, let me be clear that I was never part of the debate team. You've heard me
does
debate.
Does that make you it cooler? That, debater, does the speech team sound
no,
cooler?
No, it makes us...
I got a degree in speech. Right. I was never on a speech team.
The reason
team.
I was never on the debate team
nerdy.
Was because we did not have a debate team.
Oh, you didn't have one? Oh,
no.
You'd have been on that.
But
yeah.
You had a speech team.
Oh, yeah. We had a good speech team because of one guy.
Bragger.
And this is National Speech Education Day.
He was the Steph Curry of his speech team.
Right. We took home trophies from state because of one guy.
Yeah, that's right.
So my kids are starting to do speeches now, and I get no respect. I feel like Dangerfield in the house. And I go, let me hear your speech. Dad, you know, I got a degree in speech. I've heard some. Dad, I'm not going to do it for you. You don't know anything. I'll do it for Mom.
You just hammered on the couch. Well, screw
you. I get bored hearing a speech anyway. I don't like speeches. I mean, I did a bunch of them in my life, but I don't want to hear one.
Speech this.
So Mom just gives them encouragement, even if it's horrible. And
well, no, yeah, I can't say anything. I'm too blunt. You guys know that's weird. I get too blunt, and my wife yells at me.
And speech team was actually kind of a misnomer because no one really gave speeches. I mean, there was a category called extemporaneous speaking where they just give you a bunch of index cards and you pick one out and you're supposed to go off the subject.
Yeah,
you got like 10 minutes to prepare a speech. I guess that's the only time you'd give a speech, but mostly it was you would interpret a piece of literature.
I love that you're arguing that you get to keep saying you're not on the debate team. That makes it cooler.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that at all.
Pusses in swing choir, for Christ's sake.
Speech is a
misnomer. And speech.
Yeah. Is a misnomer. Because Mike.
Greg, you went in the radio. You didn't do any speech, did you? You weren't in the speech team, right?
No.
No, good.
I did some theater, though.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. I did a little theater in college, but I didn't do it in high school.
My categories were.
Musicals or plays?
There was
musicals.
He was Danny Zuko in Grease.
He's lightning.
He was Danny Zuko in Grease.
No musicals.
Humorous interpretation.
Where you would, don't play.
You would take something funny that, say, Woody Allen wrote, short story, and interpret that.
Yeah.
And then I'd
to make
also,
it not funny.
I was also, because it was stuff that was done by humorists.
Right.
And then I would enter the category of radio broadcasting.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep, did that.
Yeah, where I always took a second.
That'd be dumb.
Because there was some other guy who was a professional broadcaster now that always beat me.
Well, you're always in second.
Whatever happened to that guy?
He's in Los Angeles doing radio.
Oh. Yeah. Not the morning show.
So you're saying not a regional icon.
He's a DJ.
Yeah.
He's just been in tunes.
Yeah, I think he's on the programming side now.
Exactly. What up?
Good for him. Seems a lot of people were affected by an hours-long outage of Amazon's cloud service for a while.
Man, an
that's
hour.
All you know what that is. But.
Hours long.
Oh, okay.
Hours
more.
Long.
Well, weekend, that would involve multiple hours.
Yes, and apparently that was a big deal. I don't work with Amazon's cloud service, so it was not an issue for me.
Yeah,
in a blog post, the company blamed a wrong command that removed a large portion of its Amazon Web Services servers. This forced the company to, basically restart the system. They had to start over, unplug it, and plug it back in.
This will take a few minutes, it said.
They said that they're making changes that will prevent a similar event from happening in the future. Their web service hosting or their web hosting service is one of the most widely used on the interwebs.
God, that'd be speech. People just freaking out, man.
That's the reason I didn't get my crock pot the other day. They promised 2-day shipping, and it's late. So it should be here today?
And you had plans, too.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. We were going to make chili.
That's why I stay with DOS, man. I stay with DOS. I don't even mess around.
A DOS joke.
Lendog thought that was funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny Tony said it. Because I don't get it either. I don't get it.
Right. Yeah. A lot of tech guys just fell down.
Yeah.
Because that's really old school.
Because LD does do that. On the show once, LD will tell a story about computers and lab. We all look at it like,
we all like, what?
I learned my lesson.
I know you did. One time. You told a big story about it. Whoa. Jesus.
Well, one time he's
that wasn't in our language.
He's just smoking binary. Yeah. He just gave a bunch of ones and zeros, and nobody understood what the hell he was saying, except for tech guys.
And then he laughed at the end of it, so we knew it was funny. I know a binary joke.
Yeah, I
bet you do.
I don't want to hear it.
No, you don't.
That's an oxymoron.
I won't hear it. I'll ask you later.
So there's Valentine's bags out there, Craig. I told just before the break for all the employees of this lovely company. We like the company. The Valentine's bags are kind of funny. I realize there's inter-office morale when people are here all day. We're not.
Okay.
So we're not exactly part of, without hammering the gang, we're not part of the gang. Because we leave when people's days are just getting started here.
Yes.
And
I tell people good night as I'm leaving.
Yeah, exactly. And I realize these people are
in the morning.
I take a nap, do things, still realize people are still here working.
Yes.
There's 9-to-5ers. That's basically who's working here most of the time. So I realize there's a little morale needed for that. I get it. But I suspect our bags will be empty. Maybe not yours so much, Craig. People like you.
They do seem to.
But people don't talk to me.
But you're connected to us, too, though.
No, you actually get out of the studio.
You do walk around and talk to people in the hallway.
I have.
You have.
I don't.
You've been known to interact with other people.
Not that I don't want to. I just did it for years, and I just stopped it,
But I've never,
when you work at a company for so long, you just stop. Because new people come and go. Who are you again? Oh.
And all right. Hopefully you don't want to do that.
No.
You don't want to do that because how many times can you ask someone their name and say, I've seen you for 15 years.
Yes, 15 years. Exactly. That is so true. It's been that for a lot of people. 15. I've embarrassed myself a few times just asking Puss, who's that? Now she's been there since 97.
And half the time I go, I don't know.
I used to ask Todd. He was good with names, and he sucks at those anymore.
I just work under the assumption that people don't care who I am. Like, I don't need to go introduce myself to people or say hi because they're going to look at me and go, are you? And I don't care.
I nod and say hi to a ton of people in the hallway because we're only two people in the hallway. Hi,
sure.
That's it.
But I don't stop and chat.
I'm not a chatter. If I was here all day walking around, if I was going to lunch or had breaks, it'd be different. But we don't ever hang.
Yeah, because, then you would be asking people, hey, what are we doing for lunch today?
Yeah, or where are we going to happy hour?
I'm like Puss. I operate under the assumption that no one really cares who I am.
I do, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they do, and they don't care. They know who you are, Todd.
Probably.
You're either Todd or Tyler to most of people. And I'm the other one, too.
Yeah, but, I read the internal memorandums that go around, and it's just all about TV.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah.
Yeah, I just got done explaining this to one of the girls who, she started here maybe a year or 2 years ago.
Is she a promotions
girl? No, she's in radio. She's on the air on one of the other stations, And I was just, she said, nobody talked to her when she first started here. And I said, I just assume that nobody cares who I am.
Yeah. Well, they have a long history of never introducing anybody. And that's not even the new administration. That's old administration. That's been back going on for years,
She actually said Craig was one of the first people to talk to her when she started.
How you doing?
Oh, I know who that is. And I found that odd because I waited what I felt like was months to talk to her.
Yeah. She said you were one of the first.
I thought it was months before I spoke to this person.
Yeah.
And she said this to me as well. I was stunned by this.
Well, expect a Valentine's card then, I'm thinking, Craig.
I don't think so.
Thanks for being nice to me first.
Yeah,
makes me the first guy nice to me in the building.
I kind of apologized to her. I'm like, well, it's not that I didn't, I just assumed you wouldn't care who I am.
Right.
It wasn't because I was trying to, be mean to the new girl or something.
That's right. Yeah.
Last night.
Pick on the new girl.
Yeah. I'm figuring Craig will get a few.
I don't think
we
so.
We might get candy, because there's probably going to be somebody who drops like a piece of candy in everyone. So yeah. We might get that.
But the only time we're getting a Valentine is like it's somebody who gives everybody one.
You know what we should do?
What should we do?
Just get...
Go out and
buy 10 Valentines, seal them up, and throw them in your bag. And look, oh.
Everybody likes me. Oh,
you mean and people walk by and say, who's got 10 Valentines? Oh, my God, that's Tyler.
And instead of little pieces of candy, we just tape little airplane bottles to them and just stuff them in the bag.
Well, they'd be gone. They'd be gone.
Yeah, so, somebody would steal those.
I'm going to take his. I'll take his.
I'll tell you exactly who would steal those.
He would be nothing without me. He would be nothing without me.
I can give you a name of who exactly would steal those airplane bottles.
Well, if you're going to give a Valentine's card, like school, I think you give one to everybody so nobody's feelings are hurt.
Are you sure you could
like
give
100
five
bags.
Names of people that would steal the airplane bottles?
It is about
bottles?
100 bags.
I don't know if I could give five names, but I know.
Well, I would say that person probably doesn't drink that. I like that.
I could give you the most likely suspect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone we know?
Oh, yeah.
Stealing an airplane bag bottle out?
Oh, yeah.
You?
Us?
Oh, other
or
than.
PD Max got sports
other
later.
Than us.
Other than us.
Who's the other alcoholic in the building?
I'm not going to name names.
I'm thinking of one.
Oh, I know another
Come
alcoholic.
On.
Yeah. He's knee deep in snow now, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We got a little dust to get him along in case you're just waking up. So what's up, Craig?
Nothing.
All right. Happy Valentine's Day.
I'm not kidding. Nothing.
I know.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Look at the new. I mean, for hours and hours, I looked through the stuff and, you know, maybe there's something that interests me, but that's about it. Just nothing.
There's stuff going on, but if you do the story about the stuff that's going on, we might offer up opinions that no two or three people don't like, and then we get emails, and then we have to sit in meetings. I've never lived in an environment like this.
No, don't like it either. Don't like it.
Man. But do you care that Christie Brinkley is going to be on Sports Illustrated?
No, but she's good. She's the best-looking 63-year-old I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. No question.
Yeah, by far.
When's the last time you saw a great 63?
Christie Brinkley.
Yeah.
I mean, there are women that keep themselves in shape and look good at 63, but she's just like... granted. Now, I know when women look at her, she's got a lot of work done. I say, okay, of course she had some work done. But she also probably has pretty damn good genes, and she stays in shape.
Yeah, the structure is there.
Yeah, the structure's there, and she probably works her ass off to stay in shape.
Right, and the structure...
But, you know, you're going to get a little Botox and stuff like that. I get it, you know.
The structure is maintained.
So... That's probably going to be pretty airbrushed, don't you think? Because, you know, most women, even in great in shape, are going to have to be a little airbrushed for you know, you're not 22 anymore, no matter who you are. You're 63.
You would think
so. You could be in great shape, but you're going to have some knee fat or knee wrinkles.
The wrinkles somewhere.
Yeah. Which we'll check later.
There's actually a list on ranker.com of the hottest celebrity women over 60.
Oh, I know. I guarantee I know who's on there is, Susan Sarandon, she's got to be older than 63, I bet.
She might be pushing 70.
She might be, yeah.
Well, right now, number one is Morgan Fairchild.
No, I've seen her.
What does she look like now?
She's tucked back way too much. You know, Christie Brinkley beats her up and down.
And then Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour's gorgeous.
And then Christie Brinkley's number three.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Once again, we're mentioning famous people that have to, their job is to stay in shape and look good.
But you don't see Morgan Fairchild
anymore. No, you don't.
No.
But I never thought she was hotter than Christie Brinkley anyway, even back in her heyday.
Oh, Linda Carter. She's still looking good.
Oh, yeah, Linda Carter's looking
good. Yeah, there's Susan Sarandon at 6.
Okay.
Yeah. Raquel Welch. Ooh, yeah.
Raquel's got to be over 70, though, man. Well, it says over 60, right?
Yeah, and she's looking kind of pulled back, too. Yeah.
How about Jane Fonda? Is she on there?
Jane's
I haven't
looking,
run into
Jane
her yet.
Jane looks great, yeah.
Bernadette Peters.
She was
nice
on Bernadette
for you, Craig.
Yeah, I'm with the Craig.
Where do we see Jane Fonda? Oh, Bill Maher. Bill Maher talked to her.
Yeah,
a
yeah, she looked good.
Ago.
Yeah, she's over 70 also.
But these are the hottest chicks over 60.
Yeah.
We're waiting for the over 70 list.
Yeah, how you doing?
And Wendy Malick. Helen Mirren. Whoa.
Yeah.
At 15. She's the number 15 on this
list.
Did
she miss her skin naked like in every decade?
Yeah, like
yes.
Yeah. Five. I think five
every decade
ever,
I believe, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he looking for grandma, mom, and daughter all naked? Was she part of that chain? Part of that multi-generational thing?
He didn't come up with it.
We've had mother-daughter. He still hasn't had the mother-daughter-granddaughter yet.
Because Susan Sarandon's daughter was on Californication, right?
She's naked, yep.
Yeah.
She's a hottie.
So we have two generations of nudity. Mm-hmm. He's awaiting the third.
Oh, from what I can tell, Morgan Fairchild really still looks good.
Oh, yeah, I've seen her.
Well, I'm sure she does.
You can't be sure she does. No, I think I've seen her.
I've seen pictures.
Yeah, I think she does some infomercial once in a while.
But I think from the beginning.
Sitting there and telling you how to shove your face back.
Even in her heyday, she looked kind of plastic to me.
I thought so, too.
She looked a little too perfect.
But I'd drop off a Valentine for her. She had a bag in our office.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd put a Valentine in her bag.
You have a bag in our office. Would you like one?
Yeah.
You'd put a Valentine in her slot.
That should be the rule of that Valentine's box. You either have to want to bang the person or have banged the person.
Better tell Petey. No, forget it. I was even going to go more on that, but even what I said alone is bad enough, and I was going to say more. So I kind of screwed that whole thing up.
What he means is everybody wants to bang Pete.
That's not what I meant at all.
He's our eye candy.
No.
Yeah, he is.
He's getting along the tooth himself.
I think that's what you meant.
Yeah. That's not exactly. No, not all what I meant.
I think it is what you meant.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, almost for purposes of the air.
Braids.
Yeah.
For purposes of the air, you're right. That is what I meant.
That's what you meant. That's exactly what you meant.
But are you allowed? I said this earlier. I'll go to HR today and ask this. You know I won't, but I'll ask anyway.
Yeah.
If you dig someone in the office.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way to draw attention to yourself. Say, listen, I'm seeing you around. I don't know you, but happy Valentine's Day.
From?
Meet you in the break room. I'll buy you a Cliff Bar.
A secret admirer.
Right, secret admirer, right.
But you can only ask him out once.
That's right. We did that. We did that test.
Oh,
not
yeah.
test. We did the training. Yeah. You're allowed to ask people out of office once. They say no.
End of story. So you get the one shot. So you get a card and an asking, I think.
Is the card, if you ask him in the card.
Then you're done.
Written or verbal, you only get one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, check with HR on that one.
Well, this should be the opportunity.
If you write it, you get five.
Please.
Can I put seven Valentines in there?
We talked to a lot of women who guys would rather have the woman make the first move, the story that Craig did yesterday.
Yeah, but we did the same story he did. Barely any of them do, 20% maybe.
Yeah, but
less than that.
Be an opportunity for them to do that.
If you like a guy in the office.
They could step up and say, Craig, I really like you.
I know you have issues and baggage, but I like you. That's all of us, by the way.
Yeah.
Issues and baggage. Yeah,
or even baggage issues.
Baggage issues. Right. Issues, baggage,
Right. I know
cleanliness.
You're in a tangled mess.
I know you have issues, hygiene. Issues and hygiene issues. You have issue of hygiene, age. All kinds of issues.
Right.
Do we really want to list off all our issues?
No, I don't. No. I stopped right there. I just said baggage and what was the other one?
Whatever.
I threw age in there, too.
I think we cover all of our issues most every day.
We share.
Or at least we touch on them.
We share. Yeah. So happy Valentine's Day. We got till Tuesday to hope for a card in our bag.
I'm telling you, it's just going to be a pity card. It's going to be something that they drop in for everybody, so nobody has an impact.
Well, I think maybe one of the salespeople who digs, and we get a lot of ratings for them, and we have nice salespeople that are cool with us. But I don't expect anything. I don't really want anything.
No. And I'm probably not even going to look.
Oh, you're talking about like...
My bag. I already know where my bag is. So
if the ratings turn out well and we get an email from the sales department...
One or two.
The one lady that emails us when we have a good report card, she might. Because she knows who.
But now we're putting pressure on her. She listens. I don't want her to have to do
anything. Not right now.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think we'd have to put pressure on her. She knows who we are. But it just smacks of third grade.
Well, also it smacks of, I had a buddy of mine mess with me in junior high school. I started getting notes in I was like eighth grade.
You were catfished?
Yeah, but by a buddy of mine, right.
Well, that's what it was.
So I'm thinking this is prime for catfishing. You're right, it was before it was called catfish. I got these I got these notes, and he was a pretty good dude, smart guy, had pretty good he was a cartoonist.
Oh,
so he knew how to draw.
So he could write like anyone.
Yes. And I got for about a week in a row, I got little secret admirer notes in my locker, and I believed them completely.
You would.
Because, you know, I would.
We didn't know not to believe it.
Well,
then.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wasn't, you know, so I got these.
Well, you
got
to believe somebody likes you.
You'd like to think so.
Well, it wasn't like out of the blue. I had a girl I liked in eighth grade who liked me back for a little bit, but I remember I was not seeing anybody in eighth grade, whatever that means. And I got these notes in there in a week, and I bought it, and I was telling the guys about it, and three or four guys. And it took about a week, and the one dude was in on it, and he told everybody else. And they're all still friends of mine. And that bastard. And when he told me, I was relieved but also pissed because I was so excited about some chick writing me notes.
Yes, you would be.
So the catfish thing out there is a possibility. If you catfish somebody that, and that's sad.
So all your inner circle of friends.
No, about three of them.
And the buddy who instigated this, they all knew.
He started it on his own.
Okay, but they all knew and kept their mouth shut?
It, you know what? At the time, it probably felt like it lasted months, but it was probably a week and a half before he told me. But I got two or three notes, and I bought them all. Bought them all, you know. We were sitting down there. We wrote chicks' names down, or eighth grade girls, I should say, names down. And, by the way, I was eighth grade here, if you're just tuning in. And I'm thinking, you think it was her? And we're all trying to. And no, it probably wasn't her. It might be her. Dick.
Yeah.
Kevin, you're a dick.
Yeah.
At least you've let that go.
Well, it just reminded me of the catfish thing we talked about.
No, that. Something like that had happened to me. I would have remembered.
Yeah, it was funny.
And I would have believed it, even though I was.
He became a cop, yeah, too, man.
Totally dateless wonder.
He became a cop.
Throughout junior high and high school. Yeah.
Well. But the odds are someone would like you.
Right. Especially that age.
So when you're dateless and there's one that comes through.
Yeah. And secret admirer stuff.
You think that might be finally the odds coming out for you.
Especially junior high. You catfish a 45-year-old guy in the hallway. Yeah. He might buy it for a second. Now we're going to get catfished.
I hope so.
No, we won't. Nobody in the building listens to us.
Well, and we know better now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you don't.
No, you don't like me.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. That's perfect, Chris.
Unless the note, you don't.
Unless
the note doesn't go too far. If they just say something like, hey, I'm able to tolerate you, you know, or something middle of the road like that.
No, that means you don't know me.
If they say they love us, we know that's
bull. No, you don't like me. Don't even try to say.
No, so you don't.
Got a couple of options here. We're either going to have to give ourselves Valentine's. If we want our box filled up, all right, we're gonna have to beg listeners to send us Valentine's.
And then they put them in our bag, you think, or they put them in our mailbox?
Yeah, well,
I think the bags are in our office.
Oh.
If I get one in the mailbox, I'm putting it in my bag so I can show off. Look at my bag.
Mm-hmm.
Your Tool Headquarters. It's the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.